And I need to report that there's a new thing happening at Kirkbride. That same new spirit that God promised us is happening at Kirkbride because they are attached to us. You know, that's almost like where we started. And God allowed us to sanctify that place. And Reverend Kevin and Sister Tracy have been sanctifying it since then with all those that go with them. But there's a new excitement. There's a new joy because we're connected. Oh, my God. Amen. Amen. So we bless the Lord for that because God said on New Year's Eve, I'm ready to do a new thing. And it's happening already. Don't you see it? God is doing this thing already. So we bless the Lord for what the Lord is doing. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Today we want to talk about go get your blessing. Go get your blessing. Father, we praise you and we thank you. For you alone, Lord, are worthy of all the praise. Thank you, God, for what we've already experienced in this worship service. But continue, Lord God, to have your way. Speak, Lord. Let me decrease so you can increase. Have your way throughout this entire sanctuary. In Jesus' name, amen. Go get your blessing. In life, we will experience various situations. Some will affect us more than others. Some situation will cause us heartache and heartbreak. Some situation will cause us more grief and pain than others. But what do we do when the weight and burden of life situations cause us to be in a state of paralysis? As a matter of fact, I believe I was at the Mighty Men of Valor conference one year, and the preacher said, if you're in a certain state, if you don't do an analysis, you'll be in paralysis. And all he was trying to say was, you got to check in to check out what's going on in your life so you can move ahead. Sometimes we don't want to move on. We want to just stay where we are. But Joshua chapter 1 informs us of what God expects us to do to reach the destiny he has planned for us. It also teaches us about if you're a leader, you ought to have somebody that you're training under you. Because every vision is greater than you and me put together. A vision is greater than our lifespan. Therefore, there ought to be somebody there to take the reins. There ought to be somebody there that we can pass the baton to. That's all. This chapter is teaching us about leadership and about being an example of leadership and about being ready to turn it over when it's time to turn it over, being ready to let go. But what I like about this chapter is that God was not mad at Moses because he didn't allow him to cross over into the promised land. God had much respect for Moses. And God has much respect for anybody that's doing his will. But he had much love and respect for Moses, even though Moses disobeyed him. Disobedience. Disobedience is what messed us up in the garden. Disobedience is what separated us from God. And disobedience is what got us thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Disobedience is what kept Moses from going into the promised land. We don't want to deal with that disobedience because we begin to rationalize disobedience. We talk about God knows my heart. That's why he sent Jesus, because he knows our hearts. And through Jesus Christ, he's given us the power to be obedient. But disobedience will always separate. Disobedience will always mess up. And think about Moses. He was disobedient. He got millions of people dependent upon him and his leadership and his relationship with God to get them to the promised land. How many people are dependent on your leadership or your Christian witness to get them to a place where they need to be? Go get your blessing. As we look close at Joshua chapter 1, you will see, and we want to consider these points. Number one, Moses' death. Number two, Joshua, his successor. And number three, God's instructions. See, we were at a service not too long ago, and the young man was saying he was introducing his pastor. And what I like about Joshua stayed in his lane until it was time. And this young man, when he introduced his pastor, he said, I want to introduce my pastor. I'm not equal to my pastor. I'm not this, this, and that. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to sit at his feet, not in his seat. That's what true leadership is. True leadership is that understanding where you are, what God is doing in your life. And I said, that's okay. Because a lot of us and a lot of our children, we need to look at our parents. You don't need to try to be the parent. Be the child. And learn from your parents. Don't try like I did to get grown up too quick, because then as you get grown up, then you want to go back. As you get grown up, you know, get some wife and kids. Get a spouse and some kids and some bills and a house and a mortgage. Take time. As long as you stay where you're supposed to be until it's time for you to step up. Stay in your lane. Learn. Learn. Listen. See, I'm talking, in retrospect now. I'm not going to stand and say I listened to everything my parents told me, but you better listen. Let me tell you, it's good to listen. Because you go back to your parents and say, you know what? You were right. And we wonder sometimes how our parents can see this stuff. Because they've been through, they had experience, they already knew. And they could tell sometimes. Sometimes somebody was saying their grandmother could look at them and tell something wrong. Come here, boy. Why you looking like that? Ain't nothing wrong, Grandma. Don't you lie to Grandma. Why you looking like that? And so when we deal with that, we look at Joshua, as somebody that understood what he was supposed to. He was Moses' minister. But God was grooming him. God is grooming you. God is grooming these little children here. So be careful what we teach them and what we tell them and the examples that we set for them. God is grooming these kids. They go home and imitate us, y'all. And they come to church and imitate you. So if you don't like what they say in church, then watch what you say in your house. God is grooming them. You don't know which one of these children are watching you, looking at you. Talking about they want to be you. And you don't even want to be you. Number one, Moses' death. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. If you want to understand why Moses could not go into the promised land, that's in Numbers chapter 20. And God said, because you were disobedient in front of all my people, I called you to be a leader in front of all my people, in Deuteronomy 34 now, but because you were disobedient in front of all my people, I will not allow you to go into the promised land. That's how important it is to be obedient. Don't step up to do something for the Lord that you're not going to be obedient. We can't step up to do something for God and then go around and make excuses and look at Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Said the man was in good shape. He's like a man of 40 years old when he died. God kept him. So it wasn't because he was sick. It wasn't because he was old that he didn't get to the promised land. It's because of disobedience that he did not get into the promised land. We need to understand that something. 120, I guess he couldn't get to the promised land. No, disobedience got him in trouble. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And that whole thing about mourning was, it's a ceremonial period where there's a ritual for burial of the dead with distinctive clothing and music and behaviors and a set time period for the ritual. Generally, a longer period for those that are well known. But you will understand, that's where we get the funeral homegoings from. That's why you're supposed to have certain garb on. That's why in some churches when somebody dies, they will drape the pew where they sit for so many days. It's a mourning period, but you're not supposed to mourn forever. You got to visit and go get your blessing. And because you don't mourn forever, it doesn't mean you disrespect the person. You can still remember the person and appreciate the person and love the person and thank God for what they did. But it's something about mourning that God doesn't like when it goes beyond a certain point.
He's 120 years old. Look at verse 8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. The days of weeping and mourning for Moses was ended. Didn't say they couldn't remember him. Didn't say they couldn't miss him. Didn't even say they couldn't have a picture of him. All he said, the days of mourning were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had what? Laid his hand. Moses understood that he was not going to be able to go to the promised land. But Moses, not like you and I, get mad. Well, ain't nobody going. If I ain't going, nobody ain't going. I am the leader. But Moses understood that when God spoke to him, that he was in fact disobedient, and God explained to him why he wouldn't cross over. So Moses said, but I love God enough and the people of Israel enough that I want them to get to their destiny. Therefore, I'm going to lay my hands on Joshua. See, Moses knew from the beginning it wasn't all about him. Those of us that get mad when it don't go our way, when we can't make it, it's all about you. But when you are mature enough in Christ that when something doesn't go your way, when God said, no, turn the baton over, you are mature enough to have more love for the folk that are trying to get someplace that God will not allow you to go. More churches, more ministries are all messed up because folk don't know when to let go. And Joshua, the son of Nun, he put his hands on him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. They understood what was going on. He transferred the leadership to Joshua and the children of Israel. He did it in front of the children of Israel. That's why in the church service, you got to do stuff in front of folk. You got to have leadership installation. You got to have ordinations in front of folk so folk will know. They'll see with their own eyes, not something they heard. They need to know that there's a transfer of power. There's a transfer of authority. There's a transfer of leadership to these individuals, and you ought to respect them because we respect. Oh, my God. It has nothing to do with you being able to do a better job. You weren't called to it just yet. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. But look at verse 10. God loved Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Some people preach this thing, teach this thing wrong. God wasn't upset with Moses. He said, look here, disobedience. I can't have that. You the leader. Yes, I do hold you to a higher accountability because you are a leader. And therefore, you disobeyed me because I told you to do one thing, you did another. And it was in front of the children of Israel. So now I'm going to make sure that you don't go over. But he took them up on the mountain to show them everything. He showed them everything. And that wasn't a tease. He was just showing them that the promise that I gave you is real. And it's right here. But Joshua shall lead them over. Look at verse 11. All the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all the servants of all his land, there's nobody like Moses. And in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all of Israel, nobody like him. So Moses' death caused a change in leadership. But what God is trying to say to you and I today, your mourning period is over. Because when we mourn too long, we get stagnant and arrogant and irritated. And we lose out on our blessings because we're not going anywhere. We'd rather stay there and cry and in our stupor. And we just want to stay in our little pity party and everything. But God said there comes a time when the mourning period needs to be over. And he's not being cold-blooded. All he's simply saying is, I know you love that person. I know you love that situation. But it's time for you to move on because that person was in your life for a reason. They were trying to get you to your destiny. And your destiny is not where they died. Your destiny is not where y'all broke up. Your destiny is not where it stopped. Your destiny is whatever God promised you originally. That's what he says in Joshua 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, We have to understand that before you can effectively serve God's people, you got to be a servant of the Lord. Before you can effectively serve God's people, you got to be a servant of the Lord. It said it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. God is trying to tell somebody today that what you used to have is dead. The mourning period is over. You can still remember that person or remember that situation. You can still love that person, love that situation, but it's time for you to go get your blessing. And the only reason you haven't gone to get your blessing is because you've been in mourning too long. Don't forget, mourning means that you have a certain type of clothing you wear and a certain type of music that you wear and a certain type of behavior. So you're walking around with your mourning clothes on instead of your mourning clothes. Each morning, new mercies I see. But no, I want to wear my mourning clothes on with a sad face. Woe is me. And God is trying to say it's time to. Time to go get your blessing. He told Josh, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. And go over. So Joshua is his successor. And God is showing Israel that Moses laid his hand on Joshua. Now I'm ready to install him as your new leader. Joshua is Moses' successor. And God said, I'm going to do everything with Joshua that I promised Moses. You can't beat that. And he's telling Joshua, come on. Arise. Come out of the morning. That's what it means. The morning prayer. Arise. Change your clothes. Wash your face. Change the music. Change your clothes. Wash your face. Change the music. Because it's time to, one Bible says, cross over. See, sometimes in order to get your blessing, you got to cross over. You got to move from where you are to where you need to be. We got to move from where we were to where God would have us be. Because the promised land is not there. As a matter of fact, it said God buried Moses. That's how much he loved Moses. God buried him. They don't know where the grave is. God buried Moses. And he let the folks know, Moses, my servant, I feel something too. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I feel something too. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, the land which I give them. There's some stuff that God has given you. You got to go get your blessing. See, a lot of us, we're on that lazy mode. God. Yeah, thank you. Sit it on down. God said, I sent it, but you got to go get it. It's in Canaan. It's not in the wilderness. It's not in Sinai. It's in Canaan. As a matter of fact, if you look, you could see it. The vision has come to pass. Look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. The only thing changing here is leadership. God did not change. The promise did not change. Whatever God promised you, I don't know what you've been through. You've been in the hospital. You've been bankrupt. You've been this. You've been that. You've been in. You've been out. You've been up. You've been down. But the promise has not changed. As a matter of fact, some of us have been through so much, we still got our mourning clothes on. Still playing that sad music, singing that sad song. And all God is trying to get us to say, to do is say, look here, I'm going to move past that. And he's not being cold-blooded. He's not saying forget that individual, that broke relationship, that person. He's not saying that. He said remember them on a different level. Because as somebody said one time, I'm going to take that which you're going through and make it bless you. I'm going to use it as a stepping stone so you can. See, sometimes when you give your testimony, you got to be careful because we want to give all the minuses without giving the pluses. I heard somebody say one time that when they looked over their minuses, they wanted to get some thank you cards and send it to all the people that messed with them. Because if they had not messed with them, then they would not have been able to get to. Sometimes you got to get frustrated before you get to moving. Anybody ever been to a point where you can't take it no more and that's what got you moving? As long as you could take it. As long, but when you got fed up to here, you said, now wait a minute. Now wait one blank minute. Wait. I know y'all sanctify y'all don't cuss. Wait one blank, blessed, blessed. Especially when you get older. Your patience for some stuff just ain't there. You tell folks, look, I don't play like that no more. I ain't going to chase you down. I ain't going to listen in on your phone call and all that, but don't eat here. They had a man on TV just now. He won some money. He won the lottery. And they found he was poisoned. Yeah, they... they thought it was natural causes. And the lady that killed him said, no, I'm natural. I think I killed him so I get his money. Naturally. But God is trying to let you and I know today, let somebody know, there's something in your life that you need to stop mourning over. It's time to move on. It's time to stop crying over pastime paradise. Stop crying over what you used to be and what you should have been and the money you could have had and the wife you could have had and the husband you could have had and the house you could have had and the car you could have had. Dead, dead, dead. Change the record, change the music, change the CD, change the clothes, wash your face, go get your blessing. Your blessing is not in the dead stuff. Oh my God. He told him, Joshua, guess what? I love Moses. You love Moses. But Moses, my servant, is dead. I want all y'all to rise up and go over the Jordan to possess the land that I give. That is not disrespectful. That's the most respectful thing you can do. When somebody you love dies and you go on with the vision and you go on with the ministry and you go on with the promise and you go on with the name and you go on with the... God expects us to move on. You had a bout with a sickness or something and God healed you. Why are you still acting like you bouting? Go get your blessing. And nobody blocking you but you. Look at verse 4. He said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. That's awesome. He said, Joshua, I'm going to give you what I promised. Because when Moses was disobedient, he did not block what I promised. Whatever God promised you, you might be hooked up with somebody that look like they mess up your blessing. They can't mess up your blessing. God promised it to you. What you got to do is stop thinking that they mess up your blessing. See, that's why our minds need to be renewed on that day. We got to renew our mind. We got to be spiritual with this thing because some people think because something else happened in their life or in their family or something that they can't move on. God said, oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because my promise is still good. My promise does not die with the leader. My promise does not die. No, no. My promises are still alive and they're still good. It's waiting for you. You think God don't know what you're going to go through anyway? God knows what you're going through. He knew before you knew. He knows just how much you can bear. But he expects you to get up and go get your blessing. Take them black clothes off. Take that veil off your face so you can see what's going on in your life. Ask Brother Dennis to make you a new CD. Get a new CD. Look at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He said, the same promise I gave Moses, the same power I gave Moses, the same commission I gave Moses, I'm giving unto you. And can't nobody, as long as you stay in my word, as long as you stay in my will, as long as you stay in my way, got no man. And notice he's saying this to Joshua and not the rest of the leaders. You got to keep it straight. Finish at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. He swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promise is still good. There's something that God swore to your parents and to your foreparents that's still good for you. And you so stuck on talking about, I miss my grandparents. They probably up in heaven and say, I miss you too, but from a distance. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. He said, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid. Go forth. Moses taught you well. Moses taught you well. You trained under him. You were his captain of the army under Moses. But he taught you well, and you humbled yourself. But therefore, I'm with you directly now. You're not under Moses. You're directly under me. So be strong and very courageous, and thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. See, a lot of times we want the blessing, but we don't want to pay attention to the word of God. We don't want to walk in the word. We don't want to abide by the word. We want to twist the word to make it fit us. No, God said, abide in my word, abide by the law. Don't let it come out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Know what my word says, and you walk in my word, and watch and see if I don't bless you. God says the same thing to the church today. Stop twisting up my word. Stop diluting my word. Walk in my word. Yeah, folks don't think you're crazy. You're a peculiar nation. You're a royal priesthood. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. If you're going to go get your blessings, you got to go the way God tells us to go. Got to do God's will. The worst thing for us is trying to wait on stuff. Anybody still waiting on something? Anybody still waiting on their blessing? Look like God forgot about you, don't you? You're mad at him, right? You don't even want to come to church no more. Because you can wait better at home. Why come to church and wait on the Lord to bless you? You can wait at home and you ain't got to hear nothing. You got to hear no preaching. You got to hear no song. You got to pay no money, nothing. Just wait. That's that old morning. You all sad. Some people only know it in mourning. Grievance goes in processes, but what God is basically saying is that you got to move through the processes. And you got to get to the point where you got to get up and wash your face. What did David do when his baby died? When he found out his baby wasn't coming back? He said, I'm going to get up and wash my face because I'm going to see him when I get to glory. Whatever God promised you, is it still real in your life? Some of us have been through so much stuff that the promise, the vision that God gave you is no longer real. You got to brush it off like a dusty mirror. Get that dust off your life. Get that dust off your mind and begin to see what God promised you. It is still there. Then he tells him in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And let me not forget that Joshua wasn't in this thing for himself. There are millions of people waiting on Joshua to do what God told him to do. We have to remember, Joshua wasn't just in this so he could be the big leader, so he could be on front of Time magazine, the man of the year. No, he's in this because God called him to it, and all these people are listening to him, and they're following him, and they're depending upon him. He is the ear to God's mouth, and he's the mouthpiece to the people. Oh, my God. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I said, God, why do you keep telling Joshua that? Because I'm trying to get Joshua to come out of his mourning period. I'm trying to let him know it's going to be all right. You did what you were supposed to do for Moses while he was living, and now he's gone. You all did. You did the ceremonial thing. You did the music. You did the respectful thing. But now it's time to go on and get your blessing. If Moses was here, and he was able to tell you, he was saying, Josh, go get your blessing. That's why Moses laid his hands on Joshua. What he simply said was, I'm giving this to you. Go get it. Yeah.
That's why I see a lot of times in the Bible when the fathers are dying, they put their hands on their son and they bestow blessings upon them. But then it seems like in verse 10, Joshua got that thing together. Because first he talked about Moses' death, and then we talked about Joshua being his leader, and then God gave Joshua the instructions. But then in verse 10, then Joshua commanded all of the people, saying, verse 10, he got it together. All right, now. I'm ready. All right. I'm in charge now. Okay. He told the other leaders, pass through the host. Pass through the people and command the people, saying, prepare you some lunch. Go get you some chicken, some ribs, some collard greens, some potato salad. They hungry already? Some cornbread. But it's 3 days. 3 days. Yeah, prepare you some victuals. I'm sorry, yeah. Not lunch. Prepare you some victuals for 3 days. Get you some dinner. They said for more than 3 days, which means there's no going back. We're going to move forward. We're going to get our blessing. So be prepared to move forward. Don't tell me you got to go back home because you forgot your hot sauce. You forgot the Pepsi. I don't want to hear all that. Prepare. Come on, somebody. I know this is Carpenter's translation and it's messing you up. I'll go back to the King James. Pass to the host and command me to say, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. In 3 days, you're going to get your blessing, but you got to go get your, the blessing's not coming to you. You got to go get your blessing. I'm sorry. God's telling somebody to prepare. You've been waiting long enough, but you found out it's time for you to go get your blessing. You have to get up and get your blessing. See, God wants us involved. You know, he sent Jesus. As a matter of fact, as soon as he sent Jesus, something started. When he sent Jesus as Savior, he came and he died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But as soon as Jesus got up out of the grave, something started. And as soon as you say yes to the Lord, then something starts for you. Salvation means so much more. Salvation, your understanding of who Christ is and what salvation is, begins to give your dreams life. It begins to fuel your dreams and your vision. It begins to lift you up out of that mourning stage and restores your joy that is unspeakable and gives you a peace that passeth all understanding. When Jesus got up out of the grave with all power in his hand, it was a signal for you and for me. It was time to go get your blessing. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. It's time to stop mourning. It's time to go get your blessing. As a matter of fact, when I was writing this message, it reminded me of a song by Mary Mary. It's time to go get your blessing. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you've been sitting there sad long enough. You've been sad in church, sad at your house, sad on the job, and God says, you better get glad. It's time to go get your blessing. Get up and go get your blessing. Stop sitting down asking folks, when God's going to do this for me? When God, go get your blessing. Come on, go get it. Go get it. Go get it. Go get it. It's your time. And I believe it's your time. This one job. It's your time. You've been working. Check your wife.